Hey, Growcast listeners, thanks so much for tuning in. We got a lovely episode ahead with Phil Estrin talking about tissue culture cloning, a process that I'm very fascinated by and has a lot of implications in the cannabis world. Before we get started, I want to give you a quick heads up. The Growcast merch store is up and running. A lot of people have talked about how they want a Growcast hat, they want a Growcast mug, they want to rep the podcast. Well, now you can. We've got some great products up there. Just go to growcastpodcast.com and click the merch button at the top right and get yourself a hat, get yourself a backpack or a hoodie. We got some really great options, guys, so go check it out, growcastpodcast.com. Click the merch button. Shout out to Fishhead Farms and their product Fish Shit Organic Soil Conditioner. Love them. You'll hear about them later. Shout out to Phil Estrin for being such a badass for today's interview. Very fascinating. I'll let you guys get right to it. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Best of luck in your grows. Happy growing. Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to Growcast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. Before we get started, can you please tell a friend about the show? Tell a grower, tell a smoker, tell someone who would enjoy it. Make sure you're subscribed and give us a rating and review, please. We always appreciate that. We have a very interesting guest today from Kenomic Laboratories. Phil Estrin is on the phone. How you doing, Phil?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm really excited to talk to you. Some really interesting stuff going on. Tissue culture cloning in cannabis. Really exciting topic. Something I know nothing about, to be perfectly honest. But first, could you give a brief professional background? Talk about what led you to create Kenomic Laboratories and what you're trying to accomplish over there.
Sure. I kind of have a pretty lucky past when it comes to the cannabis industry. I started working in around 2014 at a medical marijuana production facility in Connecticut, actually as an internship for my master's program. Hmm. And during that time period, my boss at the medical marijuana production facility actually expressed interest in tissue culture, something I had done extensively on bacteria, yeast, and mammalian cells, but never with plants. So My thinking was, I happened to be at a university. I was going to go to the plant department and ask someone there who was doing a lot of plant tissue culture about their techniques. And when I did that, I met a professor by the name of Gerald Berkowitz, who basically misinterpreted my questions and instead offered me a graduate position in his laboratory doing purely cannabis research. And we got lucky that this was happening in 2014. Right after the farm bill had passed, allowing universities to do research on industrial hemp without any fear of consequence. So that's how it started. Yeah, it was very, I like to tell people that it was very serendipitous. I basically kept falling into these amazing positions. And then after finishing up in Dr. Berkowitz's lab, I went to Maine. I basically gained all this experience and knowledge, and I didn't really know a lot about the industry side. So I went to Maine and I consulted for a couple of years, and that's basically when I figured out that, or saw the trends of the market going towards tissue culture, and I figured it would be a perfect time to actually start instead of a service-based company like many of the tissue culture, or a propagation-based company like many of the tissue culture companies were. I figured we could start an educational service, basically, because unlike a lot of the classical, like industrial techniques, I think tissue culture is something that scales very conveniently up or down and can be a useful tool in anyone's growing arsenal.
I love it, man. Kenomic Laboratories, we are scientists, so are you. That's your tagline. Here at Growcast, we're all about empowering home growers and all about producing safe medicine at home, whether you're grown from seed, cloning, tissue culture, whatever, and just about spreading the knowledge, right? It's not a good thing to close off this kind of science and technology.
Exactly. I think one of the things that people really undervalue is that everyone comes from a different background, and one of the things that you do when you start opening up access to this information to other people is you have people who are from fields that might not be biology that look at it, maybe an engineer, and goes, I understand the principles. I understand what the goal is. Maybe we can make it more efficient. Maybe we can make it faster. They can start looking at ways to optimize. that someone like me or someone with a traditional, maybe biological background would never have thought of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's a great point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about this just for maybe someone who hasn't heard of any sort of tissue culture cloning, not familiar with the term in general. There's a couple different ways. You can get yourself a cannabis seedling. You can grow it from seed. You can take a cutting from another plant and plant that cutting and it will grow roots. But this tissue culture cloning, this is just taking a piece of the plant meat, right? I mean, this is just taking a piece of the genetic material and growing an entirely new plant from that?
Yes. So there's many different... So one of the beauties of tissue culture is essentially any portion of the plant is a sufficient enough material to regenerate the entire plant from it.
Wow.
And it all centers around this amazing principle called totipotency. Basically, the ability of any cell, to like a kidney cell in a human, to stop being that type of cell and start becoming some different type of cell. So you can take, for going to plants, you can take a leaf, and the leaf is made up of all these cells that are leaf cells. They don't look like root cells. They don't look like shoot cells. They have a very unique identity, which is a leaf identity. And then through a process called de-differentiation, you can actually get them to go from leaf cells to stem cells, which for plants are in the form of callus. And then you can start directing these stem cells to start acting like shoots and become shoots, and you can direct other stem cells to start acting like roots. And once you've got shoots and you've got roots, you've got a full plant.
Wow.
Coming from this very small sample. Yeah.
That's fascinating stuff. And you said any part of the plant. So you're talking about any part of the flowering cycle, a little piece of bud, a little piece of stalk, a little piece of leaf. Any of this can produce a whole new cannabis plant?
Any piece of it. Most people, so different tissue types have different advantages, different negatives. So there's trade-offs. For example, one of the most common starting materials is the meristematic tip, the growing tip of any node, and ideally, if it's still on the plant, the apical shoot meristem. And this meristematic tip, you need like a dissecting microscope to see it. It's too small for the eye to see it. And the whole reason that people start with it, so it's a very small amount of material, which means if anything goes wrong, there's only a couple of cells, and the chance of it dying is pretty high.
Mm.
But because it is the most rapidly growing part of the plant, there is a very difficult barrier for all pathogens to cross. Systematic viruses are not found in the shoot apical meristem. Bacteria, fungi, anything that can penetrate the plant has a very tough time penetrating this shoot apical meristem. So if you have a plant that has a crazy infection or comes from a room where there's a crazy infection, you can harvest this tiny little part of the plant and regrow a completely sterile clone from it.
Wow.
In a single generation.
That is so, that has a lot of implications, which leads nicely into my next question. What kind of changes do you foresee if this technology gets, you know, cheap enough, accessible enough for everybody? That's a perfect example, being able to eliminate any sort of predisposition from your last run, any complications, for instance, that has huge implications. What other implications do you see as far as tissue culture cloning for home growers or beyond, you know, just in general, in the cannabis world in general?
Oh, so I think there's actually a couple of major ones. And one of the biggest ones we just hit on is the ability to basically salvage a plant from a room that has a widespread infestation. For a home grower and for an industrial use, one of the benefits is you've got a room that's got a widespread disease. You would have to basically take down the room and clean it. But what you can do as an intermediate step is you can harvest for tissue culture. And then when you take down the room, it's not like all of those specific phenotypes that you were intended to harvest if the infection wasn't there are now lost. You actually have basically a clean reserve that you can put back into the room once it's been sterilized.
Wow.
But even outside of that, that's the thing. That's just where it starts. One of the other major parts of it is, so when you clone and then you keep cloning, generationally cloning and cloning and cloning, there's a loss of quality that a lot of growers see. And one of the ways that you can, I mean, in really advanced tissue culture, you can actually completely reverse the side effects of aging. You can essentially have a plant that was first germinated from seed from 1980, basically go back to the quality of the seedling from 1980 in 2019. But on an easier to do scale, what you can do is you can actually reduce the amount of damage that you do when you clone by doing it in tissue culture. You can actually slow down the degradation process. So suddenly this becomes a really good technique for storing genetics long term, because you only have to touch the plants in tissue culture every month to month and a half. They're in a sterile environment, so you can essentially set them and forget them. You can grow them in tissue, in test tubes. So in a square foot, you can have over 700 test tubes that you'd only have to touch once a month.
Jeez.
Sitting in a very small, like if you're a home grower, you can have it in a closet essentially. And you can store your genetics for a very long time with very minimal degradation. So that's another major advantage.
Jeez. This is really exciting stuff, man. Canomic.com, CANNOMIC.com. You can see pictures. They have their classes, multiple classes, actually. We'll get into that. A quick question, you know, taking a look at some of the pictures, do the plants turn out exactly the same? I mean, they look kind of goofy when they're getting started. I don't mean to poke fun, but they look a little goofy when they're getting started here. Do they just kind of, when you put them in soil, do they just turn right into your average cannabis plant, more healthy than ever?
Well, it's pretty funny. So for a lot of tissue culture, what most people will use is a little nodal segment, similar to traditional cloning. But unlike traditional cloning, you're looking for a nodal segment that's like about an inch in size maximum and has a single unreleased node or bud or a single released bud. And from that, you get what you see in those pictures, kind of a pretty small explant that has some shoot multiplication. It went from maybe one node to three, four, or five.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, when you put it into traditional media, soil, potting media, coca, whatever, it's unfair, the advantage that it has in compared to a traditionally propagated plant.
Oh, wow.
Not only... Yeah. So we do this as a service, and we heard this back from some of our clients. It's about 30% improvement, just purely in development time to flower. They utilize nutrients far more effectively. A big part of it is that these plants, when they're basically being treated as clones, and these little nodal cuttings that are being put into tissue culture, they're being put in such a high quality environment that it's like these the equivalent of being given the perfect nutrient regimen as a baby. So when you become a teenager, when you become an adult, since you had all those proper nutrients, you become bigger than your classmates, maybe stronger than your classmates, all that type of stuff. And
wow.
Yeah. So yeah.
Fascinating stuff. We got to take a quick break, get in a word from our sponsors, and then we're going to do a little crash course in tissue culture. And talk about some more fantastic genetic testing, all sorts of fun scientific stuff. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back. All right, everyone. Today, I'm talking to you about Fish Shit Soil Conditioner. This stuff is awesome. Fishheadfarms.com is where you get it. That's fishheadfarms.com. Promo code GROWCAST gets you 10% off. And members to mygrowpass.com, our membership program, get 25% off Fish Shit forever. This stuff is amazing. You guys got to try this out. Fish Shit is a full spectrum microbial product. It's an ecosystem in a bottle. It can be used from seedling all the way through flush. It is so natural, so powerful. The ecosystem of microbes works to make nutrients more bioavailable for your cannabis plants. It promotes heavy sustainable growth in veg. It works as a transplant aid to reduce shock. Ooh, that's a nice little bonus. And it can also be used in flower for huge benefits. Everyone knows these microbes aid in bud production, overall yield, terpene production, aroma, and taste. It's just a great little tool to have. It's a great weapon to have in your arsenal. Fishheadfarms.com, fish shit soil conditioner. It also works as a flushing agent, breaks down those salts and improves flavor. Bring life back to your media with fish shit. Promo code GROWCAST for 10% off mygrowpass.com when you're ready to save 25% for life. Fishheadfarms.com, fish shit soil conditioner. All right, everyone, back to the show. All right, everybody, we're back with Phil Estrin from Canomic Laboratories. Really interested in this tissue culture cloning. Do you see this being the future?
I see it having its role. I think for a lot of big-time producers, the fact that tissue culture takes longer than traditional vegetative propagation, I don't think it can fully replace it. If you're, for example, growing in a facility or at home, and you don't have, like, you're starting from fresh seedlings, and you don't have any type of infection, there are less benefits to doing tissue culture. Mm-hmm. But for anyone who's grown more than one time in the same environment, you know that the risks of something like powdery mildew or fusarium or all that type of stuff is much more increased. So I think as a technique, it has a very valuable place in the industry. But I don't think it's, in the future, in 10 years, we're only going to be seeing people growing plants in these magenta boxes, and no one's going to be doing stuff like hydroponics here.
Still fascinating stuff. Let's get down to it, man. How do you do this stuff? I mean, we don't want you to give away all your secret recipe. You have a really in-depth class that teaches you everything you need to know from front to back. But can you kind of give us a little bit of an overview of the process and what it looks like?
Sure. So the whole underlying part of the process, or the part of the plant that we're actually trying to manipulate, is this topic that we mentioned earlier, that any cell of the plant can become any other cell. Any leaf can become shoots. Shoots can become roots. Anything can become anything. And so it basically becomes a game plan of manipulation. The easiest way to start thinking about it is if you take a small little nodal cutting. So it's got, like I mentioned before, one single unreleased bud. And so what you do is you put it into this sterile media. You first clean off the cutting using bleach, and then you put it into this special agar media. It looks, I guess, pretty similar to Jell-O, except that it doesn't have a food coloring. And in this kind of gel, you add all the nutrients the plant will need. And when it comes to forcing the plant tissue to undergo a new type of identity, you start manipulating this using plant hormones. So one mm-hmm. of the ones that most growers are going to be most familiar with is IVA. If they've ever used anything like Clonex, Hormidin, any rooting solution whatsoever, they all use IVA as the active ingredient. IVA is an auxin that promotes rooting. There's a second category of hormones called cytokinins. Some growers might be familiar with stuff like kinetin, which is a commercially available one, or BAP, benzoaminopurine. And so these guys promote shooting. So with these two groups of hormones, that one that promotes shooting, one that promotes rooting, you can start manipulating all these different tissue types. So a visualization of a pipeline of something like this would be, you start with a cutting of a leaf. What you would first try to do is you would get that leaf to go into a undifferentiated stem cell phage where it produces a callus. You could do this with giving it some auxins. And once it achieves callus, you want the callus to first form shoots. The reason you want it to form shoots first is you can keep moving it after, the media, after a period of time, about a month, it gets a little old. And so you want to consistently be putting them every month or so onto fresh media. So while it's shooting, you can be moving it. The shoot is much more robust. And once it's produced enough shoot, an inch or two or so, and enough multiplication of the shooting, about three or four nodes from that initial one. You then move it on to a routing media. The routing media can have something just as basic as IVA, although there are lots of auxins that have been shown to work. And then once you've gone from this, you went from a leaf to stem cells, from stem cells to shoot, and then from the shoot, you grew roots at the bottom, and now you've got a full plant ready to rock and roll.
Wow. So this is all done in this gel medium, and then you just, what do you usually stick it into, some sort of cocoa when it's strong enough and sturdy enough to make the switch, the transition?
Yeah, there are a lot of people who, what they do is they'll essentially, so you have it totally right. That's that is the game plan. You, one of the benefits of this gel media is the way that it's made is you put it into an autoclave where it's powdered agar, and the autoclave, it gets so hot that it basically forces the agar to mix in with the water, and then when it cools, it becomes a gel. And because you had to put it in the autoclave, you know that your entire media is very sterile. So what people will do is they'll grow it in the sterile environment, and a lot of people, some will choose to root it in the sterile environment because it's very, it's very safe for the plant. It's very like, there's no risk. If it's like if you're working with an old plant, like maybe 30-year-old plant, then there are, you know, if you root them in rock wool, there's a chance that they won't root, it won't take, but you can lower this risk by doing it in media. But if you're working with a relatively healthy plant, there's plenty of people who will just choose to root in a more traditional media like cocoa or aeroclone or something like that. It's really up to the grower themselves to choose what they want to do.
Wow. That's awesome stuff, man. Is there any sort of, equipment or anything you need? Who can get started with this? Like, are there any restrictions on what you need to get started?
Yeah. So getting started is actually remarkably simple. You need essentially only two pieces of equipment. An autoclave to sterilize the media itself, and then a flow hood so that once everything is sterilized, you know, you've sterilized your media. The worst thing you want to do is then to open the media in a dirty room as soon as you take it out of your autoclave. So having a flow hood is basically a designated area in the room that is also sterile, so you can open up your media there. You can work with your sterile, like the plants that you've bleached, you can work with them in there without worrying that they're going to become just recontaminated by the surrounding environment. But those two pieces of equipment, which on a very low end can cost about $1,000 together, is all you need. And then once you have that, you just need the hormones, and then you're ready to rock and roll. The total startup cost someone at home would be less than $1,200 altogether.
Not that bad, seeing as how much growers throw down on all sorts of grow equipment, grow lights. I know what that grower bill looks like. Interesting stuff. Really, really interesting stuff. Talk about your class that you offer for a moment here.
Sure. So the class that we offer basically goes really in depth on all the principles of tissue culture. But one of the major things that we try to emphasize is good experimental design. It's good experimental design helps not only with tissue culture. If you've gone into issues, if you don't understand how your plant is reacting, you can start identifying variables, doing controlled experiments on those variables, and slowly start figuring out what's more optimized, what's less optimized, what this specific strain likes, what some other specific strain likes, because strains can be very unique. And when we're talking about hormones, just like me and you, if we went to a doctor, they would probably recommend, they could recommend us for both of us to take HGH, for example, if we want to be like 7 foot tall. But they might recommend us taking different amounts of that to get the same result. So whenever you work with a new strain, there's some troubleshooting to be done. And so our class really emphasizes, how to identify what variables might be impacting your experiment, how to figure out how they work. And then in addition, we go through all the things you would expect from a regular tissue culture class. We go over all the fundamentals. We also do a lot of hands-on experience. One of the biggest things we had concerns with a lot of students was if they come in, they do it, and then they leave and they don't do it for a month, then there's a concern they might lose some of the materials. So we focused on every day they're in for the class, they're working with their hands on, they're getting really familiar with the techniques, they're doing lots and lots and lots of trial and error. They're getting like really familiar with doing the techniques so that when they go home, if they want to choose to build out their own lab, then they won't be lost, kind of like, oh no, you know, I'm home, I don't know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. We really want them to know what they're doing.
It's really cool, man. And you've got a $100 discount code as well. Anyone who's interested in the class, just write that you heard about the class on GrowCast in the memo, and your $100 discount will be applied at the time of processing payment. Really cool stuff, man. Before we wrap it up here, can you talk about the other projects that you're working at Canonomic on, you know, the genetic testing or just anything else you're excited about?
Yeah, so we think that, you know, one of the things is kind of like how we're talking about one of the benefits of the tissue culture is that while it has some startup costs, if you've ever been a grower and you've had a room that comes down with an infection, it quickly becomes really cost savings to just have a lab. Hope to God you almost never have to use it, but when the day comes, you're prepared. So one of the other things that a lot of growers can do or struggle with is when they start from seed and they don't know what do they have, a male or a female. And there have been companies that have provided sex testing services, but one of the things that remains really constant with all of these companies is that they use a form of DNA testing that revolves around sequencing. And there's nothing inherently wrong with sequencing. It's a really important tool that genetics has given us in terms of like medical understanding and research and all that other stuff. But with companies, not that I want to name any companies, but like with companies that exist, some of them have financial motives that don't benefit the growers that are giving them samples. And so sequencing has started to get a little bit of a negative reputation in the industry. So what we try to offer is essentially the exact same service. We can tell you whether you have a male, a female, whether you have a THC dominant, a CBD dominant, a one-to-one type of plant. But all of our tests still revolve around DNA. None of them revolve around sequencing. We don't want anyone's data. We have no interest in any of that type of stuff. We just want to provide a pretty important service to let people know, hey, you've got a male. If this is not what you want, you should take care of it now before it's 2 weeks into your flowering and there's pollen sacs everywhere and you don't know if something got accidentally pollinated. Or if you only care about males for whatever reason, we can let you know, hey, that's a female. Kill it for whatever reason you might have to keep the males.
Right. Interesting stuff. Yeah, protecting privacy, always ever important, especially like you said, the landscape now, the controversies going on now. Privacy is appreciated. So much appreciated, Canonomic Laboratories.
Yeah, you know, people have spent so much time developing the strains that they love. It's very disingenuous to try to steal it. Now, not by even growing it, just by stealing some DNA sequences, just some ones and zeros on a computer. So
yeah,
I think it's kind of,
yeah. That's not what you're out to do, it seems. So God bless you. Godspeed. Thanks so much, Phil. It's been great. Everyone listening, please check out the tissue culture class, canonomic.com, canonomic.com. Phil, before we wrap up, do you want to give out any sort of other Instagrams or anything where I can send my listeners who are interested in Canonomic?
Sure. We actually have two. Thank you, Instagram, for having wonky rules that hit our first page. So we have at Canonomic Labs, CANNOMICLABS. And then we have at Canonomic Laboratories. It's a little bit longer to spell, but they link to each other. So if you just want to go to the first one, you can find the other one. They all link to our website. So whatever you guys find.
Awesome. Everyone, follow us at GrowCast on Instagram. Check out mygrowpass.com. The GrowCast membership program got everything you need. Discounts on amazing grow products, extra episodes of grow content, personal advice on your grow, everything you need, mygrowpass.com. This is Phil Estrin and Jordan River wishing you a great week in your grow. Good luck to all of you. We're signing off. We're saying be safe and grow smarter.